Hi, this is Gardening Related. My name is Aunt Rebecca, and I'm in Oregon.
And this is Elizabeth in New York. How's the weather today?
It's cold and rainier today. Yesterday was gorgeous. How's the weather there?
Oh, my God. It's been stunning here.
Really?
We are in spring. It is full-fledged spring right now.
Finally.
It was 75 yesterday.
Woohoo!
Amazing. And... Well,
you were supposed to get snow the last time I talked to you. Did you get it?
Oh, we did. We did. We got about 3 inches. Welcome to spring in New York. Oh, yeah. Spring in New York. We got 3 inches. And it melted by the evening, but we had a good old snow day.
Did you cover your plants?
Oh, yes, I did.
Good.
I did. So I took your advice. So I went up into the attic and I'm like, what can I use? And we have an extra mattress up there with a mattress cover on it. So okay. I ripped the mattress cover off, ran down, covered it, you know, threw some bricks to hold it down. And I now have peas sprouting.
Good.
Radishes are coming up.
Excellent.
And
how's your lettuce?
I haven't seen the lettuce yet.
Okay.
But I think it's still, you know, within the window. Should see it soon.
So it was just seeds?
It was just seeds.
Oh,
yes.
I thought it was actual plants. No problem. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. I had planted them literally the day before the snowstorm. So
of course you did.
Of course. Of course.
And then, of course, it snowed. They should pay you.
I planted seeds. We're getting snow.
Late February. They should pay you to plant seeds in late February so it'd be all over with.
Oh my gosh, it's so much better than turning your underwear inside out and dancing with the freezer open. I'll just
What?
What? Yeah, that's how you make a snow day.
Okay. News to me.
Or you flush ice cubes down the toilet.
Oh, aren't you funny?
Obviously. I mean, these are confirmed life hacks.
I see.
A snow day.
I see. I'm so far behind the times now. I don't know this about underwear and freezers.
Gee, oh, yeah.
Call me behind the times. There it is. Oh, aren't you funny?
Well, I also have onions or garlic.
Good.
Garlic that I planted last fall.
I remember.
And then I threw 4 inches of good, beautiful dirt on top of it and was like, good. Well, the garlic's never coming up. But we have two that are up. I can't remember how many I've planted. I don't know.
You'll have however many come up. That's how many you'll have.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect.
I have two that's up, and I think I have a third one on the way. It's just
excellent.
Starting to poke. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This is good news. Yes, when the soil heats up, the seeds start to germinate. And that's the biggest deal.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Very exciting.
It is very exciting. And I think that the whole process of seedling, especially in the middle of a snowstorm, is all due to your wonderful gardening techniques.
Oh my God. Well, I have you to thank for that. So thank you.
I don't think so. I think it was you.
Oh my gosh. I have been having like this fear that I'm just going to be watering a pile of dirt. Like my vegetable garden is just going to stay this completely bare, like not even weeds are going to grow there.
Oh,
it's just going to be complete bare dirt. I don't know. It's like imposter syndrome, but for gardening.
No, I don't think you're going to have that. And if you do, we will work it out.
Yes.
We will work it out. But if you're throwing down active, lovely soil, you're not going to have just bare dirt.
Yeah.
At bare bones minimum, you're going to have weeds.
Well, we were, Nicolette, my roommate and I were, or my downstairs neighbor and I were outside yesterday and we were looking at the garden and I was watering it and picking a couple of the little weeds that were coming out. And I go, oh yeah, there's nothing in that end, like everything. And she goes to pick something and she's like, is this a pea?
Oh no. Wait, did you put it immediately back in?
Yeah, we did. We did. It was sprouted and it looked like a weed because I had told her nothing was growing in that section because I had forgotten. And she pulled a pea out, a pea sprout shoot. But we buried it and it looks good today.
Yeah,
everyone's watered and Yeah.
I was at the store yesterday picking up vegetable starts for me because I don't have the energy to start them this year. And I noticed that they had beet starts and carrot starts.
No way.
I have never, ever, ever heard of transplanting a beet. And I know that if you try to transplant carrots, they don't do well. Huh. So for those of you that want to try, just sow the seeds. Mm-hmm. You know, wait until it gets a little warmer, especially the soil gets warmer, and mm-hmm. sow the seeds, and you'll have a wonderful crop. And don't buy a start of them unless you want to fail.
Yeah, root vegetables, right? You can't disturb the root.
Also, yeah. I've been meaning to tell you this for a while. I plant root vegetables in the dark of the moon. Or is it the light?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited that you're mentioning this. Good. I love... Yes, let's talk moon phases. Because some people roll their eyes and say, moon. What kind of astrology?
No, it's not airy-fairy stuff.
It's not.
No.
The tides are literally controlled by the moon. Our bodies are 70% water. You think that's not affected? Come on.
So, yes. I'm just trying to remember, though. I used to start all my seeds by the moon cycles. And I'm trying to remember. I think I started all the flower seeds, anything up above, in the full moon.
Hmm.
So flowers and what else? Tomatoes. Anything that's going to grow above ground.
Mm-hmm.
I start with the full moon.
Hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. you can start it the day before the full moon and the full moon and the day after the full moon.
Yeah.
Then it kind of starts to weaken after that. And then you want, at the dark of the moon, you want all of your onions. I have onion starts. I bought some shallot starts this year. I'm going to be so smug.
Oh, you lucky.
I know, right? And me and Julia Child. And then all the onions, potatoes, anything that grows up, beets, carrots, mm-hmm. things that grow under the ground, you start in the dark of the moon. Now, I can't exactly, apart from the water, tell you why, you know, apart from the, you know, and the gravity pull and whatever, because I really am not a scientist. I just know that it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I have started seeds... ignoring that, they usually are wimpier and or they fail or I don't get the greatest germination or just something not quite as good happens.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I've been meaning to tell you this for a whole long time, especially since seed season has been going on for months now. And I'm so sorry I forgot it.
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah, no, and it does feel like an extra thing that, you know, we should be keeping in our minds of like where the moon is. It's the first way we told time.
Yeah.
It was the only way to tell time.
Yeah.
You know.
And also, it's kind of important, druidically speaking, you know, because the druids knew what they were doing. Finhorn knew what it was doing. Of course, they talk to the vegetables. They talk to their plants.
Yeah.
And they listened. It's not just talking and playing the Mozart. You have to actually listen. It's one of the things that I can hear.
Yeah.
You can hear when a plant needs water, when a plant needs help, mm-hmm. if you're quiet enough. And if you look at the plant as kind of a child that can't move and is absolutely at your mercy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can look at it and you can listen to it and you'll know.
Yeah.
You'll know.
Absolutely. And as you get to know them too, like with houseplants where you have relationships that last years and years and years as you have this houseplant, you know, you figure out, okay, you like it here. Or like I have a Hoya that we started from two leaves. It was a plucking.
Good for you.
And yeah, well, it came already rooted. We got it from a friend. And it is now huge. It's less than a year later. I think from two leaves, it now has 20 or more. It's big.
Excellent.
And it's been growing this long vine, this long, like,
yes.
words are not coming to me.
That's okay. It's a long stem.
Long stem. And I would say it's probably 18 inches, maybe Woo-hoo! Even 2 feet long. It's huge.
It's so and, satisfying, isn't it?
Oh my God. And it curls and it moves around with the daytime and like stretches and unstretches. It has like this little personality. And yes! I just, oh my God, it's so nice getting to know it. And I was looking at it yesterday and thinking, you need more sunlight. That's what you're asking for. Because it has 2 feet of stem and has
stretching to a window.
Yeah, it hasn't put leaves out yet. So I just moved it to a southern-facing window, and
it'll be rewarding you very soon.
Yes.
It's a miracle. If you just get still enough and look at them and then start to listen to them, they'll tell you. They'll tell you everything you need to know.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how quickly it happens, too. Like, it's really instant. They want to have that relationship.
Yes, they do.
Like working the land, I feel like I can hear it and like I can, like I have so much more of a connection putting dirt in and like watering and seeds and weeding out the
invasives.
Yeah, the invasives over by
the vinca.
Thank you. I'm like verbanium.
Vinca.
Vinca. Yes. Yeah, weeding out by the vinca. I don't know. I just feel so connected to it. It's literally grounding. It's literally so grounding.
That is how I got started, you know, because I was channeling in Taos. Mm. And I had a client whose spiritual guide, one of their spirit guides, he was a very high up guy. One of his spirit guides was Buddha. Mm-hmm. And he came to me for a session, and we sat with Buddha for an hour. And it took me 3 days to come back into my body. I know that sounds really woo-woo, but I was like, I didn't trust myself to drive. I didn't trust myself to cut up anything with a sharp knife. Mm-hmm. And finally, I stumbled out into my garden, which was just outside my house, and sat down in and almost laid down in the ground and just weeded it wherever my butt had put me.
Yeah.
And that's what got me started. And it was like, okay, if I can survive this, then I need to get my hands and my butt on the ground every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what got me started gardening.
Hmm.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a really big deal. So,
what was it like sitting with Buddha?
Oh, I didn't, for the first and only time, because I have such a monkey mind. You know, I'm from the Midwest, and you have to show me, and my critical mind is always going, yeah, right. it was like they say, I was sitting under the Bodhi tree with Buddha, and I didn't want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
It took all of my strength and energy for me to talk myself back into being Rebecca in Taos.
Yeah. Yeah. We live in such a heavy world. Like, it's so dense here.
It is dense, but it's also something that we're designed to do because we're here for purposes.
Yeah.
Some of them are just to feel what it feels like to be in this dense world and go through all of the emotions, you know, and clock up the emotions.
And dense isn't bad.
No.
It's especially not, especially with gardening and good
dirt. I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Especially with plants.
Yeah.
They kind of like it.
They do.
So I was going to talk to you today about, because I was there yesterday, I was at a couple of stores. It was a beautiful day, and Haunt was tired, and he said, you need to go to the store and get me some more blackberry killer, because we have a lot of blackberry in Oregon, and it takes over. So I went to the store to get blackberry killer, but I went alone, and all the plants were out. So I wanted to talk
dangerous.
To you today. Oh, very dangerous. But I'd gotten a shot in my knee, so suddenly I could walk. Mm. So he did that on purpose so that I would walk more.
Yeah.
Yes. Crafty husband that he is. Sneaky. and I wanted to talk to you about what the difference in plants are. And if I could walk you through a row of plants and why you buy one versus another.
Yes. So how do I pick them out? How do I know what's going to be a strong plant and so what's going to die?
So first of all, you need to know, for let's pretend you're buying petunias.
Yeah.
There were flats and flats and flats of petunias, but they hadn't blossomed yet.
Okay.
And they say they're mixed. So I want to see what color they are before I buy them.
Yeah.
So this early in the year, I would highly recommend, pansies are out like crazy right now. They won't last in the, into the heat. Mm-hmm. So I don't recommend you spending your money on pansies unless you're moving to someplace like Upper Canada. but all of the heat-loving plants, get one that either you absolutely pick the color. You must have a certain color. Mm-hmm. Or you don't care. Mm-hmm. Then you look for the plants that are not the youngest, but also not the biggest.
Not the biggest.
Not the biggest. And okay. I was shocked when I heard this in Master Gardening. It was like, no, you want the biggest. You want the best.
Yeah.
You want... Oftentimes, they're pot bound.
Uh-huh.
Oftentimes, the biggest ones are ready to go in the ground, but your soil isn't. So they're going to be pot bound by the time that your soil is ready to bring them into the ground.
Got it. Got it.
And then again, you want ones that have still some room left in the pot to have their roots grow. So it buys you time. And if it is perfect weather and perfect soil, you still buy the medium ones because you don't want something that has stopped growing because it's pot bound.
Huh. Yes. Yeah.
You want something that is still got a little bit of leeway left.
Still ambitious.
Still ambitious, still on the growing path that you can tease gently out. You tease the roots out. Now, on some plants, you can rip the roots, especially if they're pot bound. You know, if you're in July and you're buying a bargain basement daylilies, or things that haven't sold over the course of the spring, and they've been in this pot since February, and yeah. you know that everything you're going to buy on the bargain basement counter is going to be pot bound, then you rip the roots a little bit, unless it's something like peonies, which they tell you never to touch the roots and just stick them in the ground, or clematis. They don't like their roots disturbed, nor do delphinium.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes. Then you just kind of gently stick it in the ground with yummy soil and start watering it away. but right now, you have the opportunity of picking the ones that are the best for your garden. So you buy them that are medium size with buds on them, but not in full bloom, unless you want to know the color. And then here's what I would do. I would take them home. I would chop off the color.
What?
Because all of your plant is going to spend its energy blooming and then going to seed while it's still in the pot or in the transition.
Got
it. Take off the color. Take off that bloom. And if you need to make a note, make a note on the back of the tag of what color it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take off the color, put it in a bowl and have a wonderful bouquet or a vase and have a wonderful bouquet for the moment. But make sure that your plant is still growing in its leafiness and its wonderfulness, not so much in the buds. Now,
right.
if you just buy buds, that's okay. You can if you're going to put them in the ground in the next 2 weeks. But if you've got a plant, if you've got pansies or petunias, I always get those two mixed up word-wise. If you're going to grow petunias, buy them that are medium size. Not itty-bitty.
Yeah.
Not itty-bitty because you could lose them.
Yep.
And not great big because they're going to be pot-bound.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
on a perennial same thing, same exact same thing goes for it. On a perennial, for example, I was looking at something called salvia that's black and blue.
Yes.
You
so
know it.
Pretty. Yes.
Yes. Very pretty.
Gorgeous.
And the prices this year are outrageous.
Oh my God. Everyone's gardening, which is great, but also, oh my God.
Yes. And usually they go up $1 a year. This year they've gone up like $4 or $5 per pot. It's outrageous. Oh so I was looking at this black and blue that was in a 4-inch pot, and they wanted, I think they wanted $7 to $8 for it. And I thought, oh, I'd like to start another black and blue in my garden. Then I realized I have plenty of black and blue. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I have one that's that size because they grow by underground tuber-like.
Oh, interesting.
Rhizomes.
Yeah.
That are easy to dig up instead of hard to dig up. Easy to dig up and very hardy, and you can stick them in the ground. So I just decided to go dig up a couple of mine that were in the ground. Now, you may have... You may have a friend who has an overabundance of black and blue. Mm-hmm. So I would highly recommend to any gardening friends that you have out there that are in your area to, like, for example, you have a lot of vinca.
I do. I have tons of vinca. I also have some extra onion bulbs.
There you go.
Onion starts. So yeah, doing a trade, gardening trade. Absolutely.
That will save you major bucks.
Yeah.
Major bucks. And also, you're going to need to learn how to start recognizing roots.
Yes. Yeah. Because leaves are one thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm getting the hang of like what's a weed and what's not. But roots, I hadn't even thought of that.
So I have something called Persicaria. It's a beautiful plant. It takes over. It has these candle-like pink stalk blooms that I love. I really love it a lot. And intermixed with that are horrible grasses that grow under the Persicaria and go up. So one of my goals this year is to dig up the Persicaria en masse, the whole thing, and put it on my driveway and my concrete and hose it down and wet the leaves and look at what's a Persicaria root and what's a grass root and start pulling. Now, I've done this 1,000 times over the years, so I know what roots are root or what. It's like
Sherlock. That's drastic. Yeah. Yeah. But, literally pull them out by the roots.
Yes.
Deep dive investigative.
You actually, you do. You have, I mean, I love my Persicaria. And the only thing that those grasses are going to do is they're going to grow under the root, under the Persicaria some more and get worse and worse. Mm. So you get a hefty shovel and you start digging. And it can't be just where you think the grass roots are. It has to be the whole shebang.
The whole shebang.
If you buy a plant and you've had it in your plant nursery for 2 years, and it's got roots, it's got grasses growing in it, weed grasses growing in it.
Yeah.
Do not plant it. Do not pick out the grass.
Pick out the grass?
No, not from the top.
Oh.
You stick that sucker in a big old bucket of water, and you get the grass and the roots and the soil moist and loose.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, let's say it's a peony. Now, you know that peonies don't like to be disturbed very much.
No.
But it's either that or you're going to just have the peony taken over by the grass.
Wow. The grass is that aggressive that it'll just take over?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. Johnson grasses can be that aggressive if you leave them go, if you leave them be. So you take it out of its gallon pot, let's say. You stick it in a great big bucket of water. You shake it so that a lot of the soil comes loose. And if it doesn't all come loose, turn the hose on it.
Ah, okay.
D- don't be mean with a hose.
Oh, no, no, no. Of course
be
not.
Be gentle. Be the sprayer hose, the spritzer hose, but not the
jet, not no. the center.
No.
No.
The other one. And for something that doesn't like its roots disturbed. But yeah. for other things, if it was a spider plant with grass, you could turn the jet on that. No problem.
Really? Okay. Just a little root pruning.
Yes.
If something gets hit too hard.
Exactly. Okay. And then you get all the grass roots out of there and you make sure that they all get out of there. And you go through it with a fine tooth comb and then you pot it back up into luscious soil, or you put it in your garden in luscious soil and Bob's your uncle. Now it will go through shock. So water it. Do not feed anything you've just planted.
Really?
Yes, it needs a couple of weeks in its new home
to settle.
It needs to get used to its home, its new soil, its new this and that. You can mix in manure with a hole, but it's still got to be manure and soil touching it, not just straight manure.
Yeah, because manure is acid and it'll burn the roots otherwise if you just put it right on.
It can. Yeah. So what I do is then I go in afterwards and I give it a top dressing of some manure, more manure, or a top dressing of food. I use a chemical called 16-16-16, which is a grain.
Oh, okay.
A granule thing. It's not a grain. A granule thing. And so I spread that around after a couple of weeks. That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So you can't feed your babies with food once they're right in. You've got to give them that 2-week notice.
That time period.
Or otherwise they'll die. They burn and they die.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So be careful about that. Let's see what else.
Well, now this is so important and this is really useful information because I may have liberated a
what? What did you liberate, girl?
Azalea.
Yes. You may have liberated an azalea from its home.
Well, It was sitting on the side of the road.
Oh,
and it was an orphan. It was out of a pot, but it was like, you know, its roots were exposed above ground.
You saved it.
I saved it.
You saved an orphan.
I did.
You rescued it.
I put it in a tote bag and threw it in the back of my car.
Good.
And it does have some grasses around the root.
Okay.
And it looks like it's in a little rough shape. It'll need to be cut back. It will not be blooming this year.
Okay.
But that's okay. I have a shady hole picked out for her because I know they like a little shade.
Yes, they do.
Not total shade, but it's, you know, indirect sunlight.
Perfect.
And shade. So, I'm going to dig a nice big hole for her.
Good.
Water her roots, and is an azalea one that's okay to get wet and pull the
Cool. An azalea is one to get wet and you can pull. Now there's several things you should know about rescuing any plant. Water them.
Yes.
First thing you do is water them.
Yes.
Don't feed them for a while. If you're going to lose roots, you're going to lose some of the top. So you're asking a plant with less root system to keep growing top part, leafy and flower part that it doesn't have the roots for. So cut it back a bit.
Okay. Yes.
And if you don't care if it's not going to flower this year, that's fine. Just cut it back to a good node or two. Look at the roots. If the roots are really tiny, Elizabeth, cut it back quite a bit.
Okay. No, it's a pretty good sized azalea.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I thought it was a good find.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somebody dug it up because they didn't want to have to deal with the grasses.
I think so. Yeah. I don't know what its story was, but it was, it was abandoned. It wasn't getting any care,
baby.
Any love. No one was coming here. And
you rescued it.
I rescued it.
There it is.
Yep. There now, it is.
Now, One of the things that you need to know is that I have this huge driveway, of course, so I can put a weedy perennial on my driveway bed, spray the crap out of it, and get all of the weeds out of it on my concrete, and then I sweep it all up and I throw it in the bin.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have that concrete luxury.
No.
So you would be spreading roots of weeds wherever you choose to do this.
Okay. I see.
Put down a tarp. Get a big tarp. Put it down so that your mess is all in the tarp. Then you and Forrest can drag that tarp to the trash.
Yep.
Rooty, weedy soil and all, and dump it in the trash.
Yep.
Okay?
Okay.
Good.
That makes sense. Yeah. So I just saw a weeding hack, and I'd love your opinion on it.
Oh, good.
It was pouring boiling water on your weeds, which I thought was absolutely brilliant.
It is brilliant, as long as you have nothing close to it that you want to save.
Right.
So if you have a driveway with nothing on the sides that you care about, pour the boiling water on.
Yep. Yep.
They will come back after a fashion. Some of them will. If you have a driveway full of weeds that you have nothing on the sides, you can pour vinegar on them.
Yeah. What about boiling vinegar?
That would be even like nastier.
More
nastier.
More it betterer.
It would be so much more betterer. I can't stand it. I have never tried the boiling water because I always plant something too close for it.
Yeah, which makes sense. You have plants galore.
I believe in close planting. Rosemary Very, this queen of gardening in England, said, plant closely so you don't have to explain your vision. And I took her at her word. Also, planting closely. I mean, people always go, oh, Rebecca, they're going to grow. Don't you think about it in 3 years? I'm like, yeah, I do. In 3 years, all of that will be shaded under there. It's called green mulch.
Oh, okay.
So that the weeds don't grow because they're planted so closely, it shades it.
Oh, that's so nice. Yes. So it's less weeding.
Yes.
And it looks so much fuller. And
yes.
Yeah, just more lush. I have a habit of like separating my house plants too soon.
Okay.
When they look like I have a snake plant that looks like it's a gorgeous snake plant, and it looks like it's headed out of the pot. Like it's kind of looking for
it's
more
flailing.
Space. It's leaning out on all sides. And I wanna separate it. And Forrest goes, no, it's gonna look so empty then. But I don't know.
Oh, I love him. There are several plants. The snake plant and the spider plant. And I know that there are 1,000 others, but I can't think of them right this minute. Who like to be cramped.
They like it. Okay.
They like it.
Okay,
so
good.
My suggestion for you is to tie a beautiful bow around it so that they grow straight up.
Okay.
And also look inside and see if maybe you're short on soil on the outside.
You know, I also just thought I might need to give it a little bit more light or put it on a higher pedestal so it gets more of the sunlight, because that could also be another problem.
You know where I saw them growing wild along the highway was the Caribbean.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
They were a mess growing wild right there.
I bet they were.
I mean, it was like our weeds. That was them. It was like, oh my God, this is where all the snake plant lives. And it's plenty hot and plenty sunny on the side of highways.
Yes. Yeah. People always think, oh, snake plants, let's shove them somewhere dark and never water them. But they love sun.
Yeah. And they like the tropics.
They will not burn.
No, they will not burn. And they love the tropics, so you can miss them. If yours are kind of, mom, you know, help, you can miss them.
I've definitely overwatered them. So
let them get dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can put a stake and a circle of, you know, tape around them if you want, so that they start growing straight up. Oftentimes mine would start at a tilting. And I did the same thing. And yes, you can divide them. Yes, they will look raunchy.
Yeah.
For a while. But then you'll have three beautiful plants eventually.
Eventually, right?
You know, or two. Yeah. But they do like being crammed.
Okay, good. Good. I think I need to get over my fear of crowding, because right now, I at least with houseplants, I don't know how I am with gardening plants, because I plant this little seed and I'm like, I can shove 12 more of these in here. You know, I want to go back and lay my entire garden with onion bulbs because I have them. And I'm like, well, we'll eat onions. That. We'll eat onions.
Yes.
We'll
eat them. You can do that. You can. As long as your gopher or whatever, groundhog doesn't eat them first.
Well, we have it pretty well fenced in, and the gopher
underground as well.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay.
Point taken. Yep.
But Elizabeth, you can do something about that.
Yeah.
You can get some small chicken wire.
Yeah.
And wrap the baby bulb in a fistful size, or a huge fist size, softball size amount of chicken wire. And plant the damn sucker in your garden, wherever you want it, and the groundhog can't get to it.
Yeah, that's true. I also love your hack of planting things in little wire baskets.
Yes. I got
that's
those.
Brilliant.
It's hard to find them. Mm. I got them at the dollar store. They were made in China, and I swear to God, I've bought so many of them. I wanted to call up China and say, listen, you're missing a bet here. This isn't for Easter. This isn't for poor people's Easter baskets. Yep. This is for gardening, and you need to understand this, and you need to make them different shapes. And someday, some Chinaman will call me up, and I will be ready at the draw. I will be so ready.
What would what would the perfect shape be for planting?
It depends on the plant. I mean, for alliums or for onions, it could be a small bowl-like shape, just the size of a huge onion.
Right, right.
So that in 2 years, you get the blossom the first year, you get this onion the second year, or just a huge onion the first year, and it doesn't hit the basket. And then you use it again and again and again. That's what I love about these baskets, is they use them again and again. And they work.
They do. Oh,
they
yeah.
Work.
They work. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this guy is fat and well-fed.
Or
oh my
she,
God.
She could be pregnant.
She could be. Who knows?
Who knows? But if you can't find a dollar store with them, then, and I've tried ordering them lately, and they just say they're out. So, and it could be COVID, and it could be, you know,
million
all kinds
different
of things.
Million
different things.
Yep.
And so I reuse a lot of my old ones that, you know, things have died in them, and there it is.
I think it's brilliant. Yeah. Now, this is a little departure, but I also heard that you got two new kittens today.
Oh, total departure. So all three of my cats have died because they were old and ready to go, and they went.
Yeah.
And they had great lives. So I thought, well, I'll just simplify our lives and just have these two dogs. I miss my kittens. I miss cats.
Yes.
I just miss them. So I called up a friend and said, I'm on the lookout for a black cat and a black and white cat. I don't know why. I just wanted that. Those were my first two cats, a black one and a black and white one.
Yeah.
And so my friend emailed me back or messaged me back some months later and said, I have two kittens for you. They were born about a month ago, and here's the name and address. And I said, are they black and white? And she said, yes. And so we went and met them, and they're adorable. And I think the all black one has a stub of a tail, not a full tail.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So she's like, isn't that Minx? Like a mixed cat?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know enough about cats.
I don't either. I heard someone say that the other day.
Well, she's a longer hair than a short hair.
Oh. So,
and her face is fatter than the black and white one.
Oh.
And they're both adorable. And we brought them home today. We thought we were going to get them on Friday. And the lady called and said, they've been weaned. You can come get them today. So
yay.
On the way home, I need to tell you this. Haunt and I had this whole big plan where we weren't going to introduce the dogs to them for a couple of days. And we're going to put them in a warm bathroom. And
it the right way.
Right. And we haul them in the kitty box, the kitty carrying box with a towel. The dogs are at the door. They're sniffing the crate.
So happy.
So happy. So excited.
So excited. New friends.
New friends. We take him out in the family room. No, none of our plans. None of our plans at all.
Right out the window.
Right out the window. The dogs are smiling and barking, and the kitty cats, they're so small. They're 8 weeks old. They're so small that you can't hear their hissing. You just see them open their mouth.
Oh.
But Pi is ever super vigilant, and Chester got so excited that he started playing in the house and then ran outside. He couldn't stand it anymore.
So, I love that. He got so excited he needed to remove himself from the situation.
Yes.
What a good, mature, beautiful boy.
I know. They're both good dogs. And now I can say good girl because I've been saying good boy to these two dogs.
Yeah.
And now I finally have some girls in the house.
Are they both girls?
They're both girls.
Oh.
So now I'm going to need to get them spayed and taken care of. But that'll come next week or the week after or whenever I'm supposed to get
them. Oh, yeah. Not for a little while.
For a little while.
Yeah. I think they get pretty, teenagers.
Oh, do they? Before you do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's at like 2 or 3 months even.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'll have to look it up and stuff because I heard that certain vets around here are 7 months out in booking.
Oh my God. Well, Everybody, you gotta get them in.
I gotta get a listing for them. I gotta get a reservation.
Yeah, so they don't go into heat.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Two cats in heat? No.
And the black and white one is very brave.
Oh, I love her.
She does not want to be held. She is out there. She discovered everything she could about the family room. The black one follows her, but he'd rather just cuddle.
Oh my God, it's like Duke and Serena.
In a way.
It really is.
It is in a way.
Yeah, the black one is, she's sweet and shy and follows her older sibling.
Yes. It's really fun.
Oh, I love that.
I know, it's really fun. Maybe they're reincarnated, who knows?
Could be.
But I'm not naming them Duke and Serena.
No. They need to their own cats. Yeah.
And so we don't have names yet, but I will let you know anon.
Yes, please.
When I get
them. Keep me posted.
I will. What else? I think that's it for today. What do you think?
I think so. Yeah.
You wanted to talk fruit trees.
Oh, well, we can do that next time.
Well, there's two or three things about fruit trees that I want you to know. If you're going to go buy a fruit tree, you need to look it up and see if it needs a pollinator fruit tree. Buy it.
Oh,
that's the first thing.
That makes sense. Uh-huh.
The second thing is when you look for a fruit tree, look for a very straight trunk, very straight, nice and straight. Look for branches that go out at minimum 45 degrees.
Okay.
Nothing closer.
Got it.
That's where bugs get in.
Oh. Interesting. So no acute angles. Wide angles.
45 degrees is what 45 degrees is.
Yeah, yeah. 90 degrees would be ideal.
90 degrees is good too, although 90 degrees can break. And finally, look for, if you're going to buy creme de la creme, look for branches all the way around that are kind of evenly spaced.
Yes.
If you're going for bargain basement at the end of the year that are not only half price, they're one quarter's price, which I have done many a time, you're not going to get that.
No.
You're going to get a little crook in the trunk, or you're going to get branches that need to be trimmed or have been trimmed or have been broken off. Mm-hmm. And so one side of it is good and the other one isn't. Well, that'll work if it's up against a road.
Oh, yeah, true.
Or a fence.
Yeah.
So there's many ways around.
Yeah.
And there's also something that I didn't buy at the time that I wish I had when I started planting all my fruit trees, something called tree spreaders. They're not very expensive. Yes. Okay. So that if you have two branches that are kind of close together, but they're going at good angles, you can spread them to 45 degrees.
Oh, brilliant.
They're
brilliant.
Like,
yeah.
They're like plastic things that go in between them.
Yeah. They stretch the
yes.
tree.
Yes.
Interesting. Oh, that's so and they're cool. Not very,
yes. So when you're looking for bargain basement prices at the end of the year, mm-hmm. look also, get online and go look for tree spreaders.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good tips. Thank you.
You're
very
welcome.
Informative.
Now get a tarp and get the grass out of that poor rescued azalea.
I will. I will.
And water yes. the heck out of her mm-hmm. because she's been through shock.
She has. She's been through so much.
And yeah. you're going to probably be rewarded with a very grateful plant for the rest of
so.
Your life.
Yes. I hope so. Yeah. Yeah.
Good. She likes acidic soil. Mm-hmm. So tea leaves, coffee grinds.
Oh, okay.
All right. Those are good things.
Down the road, because we don't want to feed her right away.
Well,
or can I mix in?
You can mix it in with the soil.
Got it.
Because you're going to be using used tea leaves and used coffee grinds.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Okay. What are you having for dinner?
Probably piccata.
Ooh, chicken piccata.
Yeah. What are you going to have?
I had pesto Ooh. Pasta.
Nice. Yep.
I had some pesto from last summer that I defrosted from the freezer.
Yay.
And I just Aren't cooked up some egg noodles real yep. quick for myself. And Forrest is on a strict diet of chicken soup. So
oh,
that's what
COVID
he's having.
Baby.
I know. He's doing good, though.
I want you to text me about every other day on how you're feeling, okay?
I will. Yeah, I tested negative today. So we're just going to keep at it. And we're social distancing. It stinks. I'm wearing a mask in the house. But like when I deliver his soup, we mask up.
But, you're going to have to. Yes.
Yeah.
Is he masking too?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
You better. Okay.
And
good.
We have the windows open. And, you know, thankfully, it's so gorgeous out. We can.
It's so gorgeous out you can. But, oh, my gosh. If it gets cold, you know.
Yeah.
Can you move to your dad's for a while?
No, I have work.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah. I have to be all over the state to be in Albany and blah, blah, blah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you be careful.
I will.
Can you test every day or every other day?
Oh, yes. That's what we're doing.
Atta girl.
Yeah. Yep.
Tell him, give him a big virtual hug.
I will. Yeah. Well, I won't. I won't give him a hug. But
virtual. Virtual.
Yes.
A virtual hug. Okay. All right, honey. And right. We'll talk soon.
Yes. Talk soon.
I love you.
Love you.
I love you more.
Mwah. Bye.
Bye.
Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions. Buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
Oh, I like that.